If you would open your Bibles with me to Jeremiah chapter 17. I would like to read a passage of scripture in Jeremiah chapter 17. Start reading in verse number 9. Jeremiah chapter 17, start reading in verse number 9. We'll go down through verse number 14. The Bible says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." Verse 12. "A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed. They that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise." Can you say amen? Amen? Amen to the Lord's word. You may be seated. This verse is a scripture familiar for sure, verse number 9 that we started out with. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We've probably heard that scripture quoted many times and very possibly heard it preached on many times also. I would like to preach on that last phrase of verse number 9 this morning and call this message that I want to preach on, "Who can know it?" Who can know it? That's a question. The prophet here writing declares unto us that we probably already know, and we'll soon find out that we are sinful people. The very nature of mankind is sin. The nature of man is not to do good. The desire of man is not to live right and please God. There is probably some that would believe, and I know there is many that teach today, and it is a spirit of Antichrist. It will be very important in the Antichrist teaching or religion, I believe, that you're actually good people. You're actually good. The inside of you is good. Matter of fact, it will be a doctrine or a teaching that you actually worship yourself. You worship man. You worship what you are. Worship yourself. And whether that is or not actually what the Antichrist will teach, it is a spirit of the Antichrist, that you worship yourself. But the scripture here is very plain. You cannot get any plainer that the heart is deceitful above all things. It is very deceptive and it is full of deceit. Amen. And it is not only full of deceit and trying to deceive you, but it is also desperately wicked. And this puts us kind of in a bad shape this morning when we read this scripture. And not only that, but if you stop there, I mean, there's not much hope. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Then he asks the question, who can know it? You may think you know your own heart, but you really don't. You don't know what's there. And there's been so many people that have done wicked deeds that it surprised them when it was caught up with them. When they finally got time to think about it, it caught up with them. They were surprised that they'd done the wicked thing that they'd done. And it takes us back to the scripture, how that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And he asked the question, who can know it? You know, there's a lot of people, and if we're not careful, we'll get this mentality. And because we don't know some things, we'll think we're innocent. But I don't believe that ignorance is innocence. There's a difference there. There's a difference in ignorance and innocence. Now, I know some people, they're flat out ignorant on the ways of God. They're flat out ignorant and they don't know what they need to know. But that does not mean that they are innocent. And so here is what I'd like to preach to us this morning. Who can know it? The first thing we see in these scriptures is the evil nature of man. The first time the word heart is mentioned in the scripture is written in Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 5. The Bible says that God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart. There's the first time that that word heart is even written in the holy word of God. It says that God knew and he figured out and he saw that every imagination of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. And so here in the scripture, it's laid out very plainly in the very beginning, amen, that God saw that man's nature was evil. Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, very familiar to us, but it says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, for so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Listen to me, brothers and sisters, you may be a pretty good person. You may not do wicked things, but the very nature in every human being is sin. The very nature of man is evil. It is not our nature to be good. It is our nature to be evil. You do not have to teach a child to be bad. You do not have to teach a child to lie. You do not have to teach a child to, amen, to sin. But because it is in the nature of man, we are born with this nature. Amen. Sin passed into all the world by one man. Amen. For that all have sinned. That's every one of us. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Not just a few of his thoughts, not just a few of this group of people was only thinking evil in this. No, God saw mankind on the earth. Amen. The Bible said that he saw that every imagination, not just a few of his imaginations, but every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil. Not just evil every once in a while, but was only evil continually. Notice those three words. First, evil. Amen. The imagination of man's heart and the thoughts of man's heart was evil. Amen. But not only was it evil, it was only evil. It was always evil. That's all his thoughts was evil. Amen. And so not only was it only evil, but it was only evil continually. Those three words are so plain laid out in the scripture. Only evil continually. We see in evil that there was no good. Amen. For the scripture says there is none righteous. No, not one. Amen. And it was evil. Not only was it evil, but it was only evil. That's all it was. Oh God, help us this morning. Amen. It was only evil, and it wasn't only evil a little while. It was only evil continually. Amen. It was always building upon that. And I'm telling you what, we've got in a day and hour where people think that they're good. They think they can make it on their own works. But the scripture says, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. Not only that, but the scripture says, our righteousness is as filthy rags. Amen. We cannot stand before God and claim our good works. Can you say amen? And so the very nature of man is evil this morning. Jesus said in Matthew, when the Pharisees was fussing and griping about the disciples eating with unwashing hands, Jesus said that goes in the man don't defile him, he said, because it goes in his belly. He said, but that comes out of the man comes from the heart. And he said in Matthew chapter 13 that the people's
heart is waxed gross or vile or wicked. Their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. And also in the scripture that I was referring to, he says, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashing hands defile not a man. And so the scripture says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not only that, but there's a scripture that is so plain, I don't know how you could get any plainer. The scripture says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Amen. It don't get any plainer than that. You say, I'm all right this morning, preacher. I'm just fine. Everything's going fine. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. I've always said or often said that it's a shame when the devil deceives someone because he's the master of deception. He's trying to deceive ones. Not only that, but he has his men that work for him, false prophets and false teachers and false Christ. It's a shame when someone is deceived by false prophets and false Christ and false teachers and false preachers. But I think the ultimate shame is when someone deceives their self. It's a shame when the devil deceives you. It's a shame when the prophets or the false teachers deceive you. But when you lie to yourself, it is the ultimatum of shame, because you know better, but you convince yourself that you are all right.
You know, you've heard the saying, pull the wool over their eyes. Well, somebody can pull the wool over their eyes. The devil can pull the wool over somebody's eyes, but when you reach up and pull the wool over your own eyes, we deceive ourselves. The Bible talks about deception, about being deceived. He talks about false Christ, false prophets. He talks about them doing signs and wonders. Amen. In the book of Revelation, there's amazing things there about how, amen, these prophets of the Antichrist and the Antichrist himself will do wonders and deceive many. The Bible said if it was possible that the very elect would be deceived. Amen. The devil is the master of deception. Amen. But when we deceive ourselves, it's a shame. It's a shame. Let us realize today that the very nature of man is evil. We are not good. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. It brings us to what I call my message today, who can know it? Who can know it? When we know, when we realize that on the very inside of us, you know, I got a suit on, a tie, and I may not look the best, but I think I look pretty good. Come on, smile at me. But on the inside of me, there is a wicked, wicked nature. A wicked heart. And oh God, who can know it? The answer is in the verse following, I, the Lord, search the heart. God knows what is in man. God knows the heart. The Bible talks about him revealing the secret things of man. God knows the secret things of man. He knows exactly what's in the heart. The Bible says in Jeremiah 23, I am a God in hand, saith the Lord, not a God afar off. Can any man hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I feel heaven and earth, saith the Lord. Amen. God, not only is he omnipresent, and that scripture is very plainly telling us, amen, of the omnipresence of God, but it is also telling us of his divine vision. Amen. Like the old song says, watching you, watching you. Every day, mind the course you pursue. Watching you, watching you. There's an all-seeing eye watching you. Amen. He told him in Ezekiel, he said, go down there and tell those men, I see the things they're doing in their secrets. I hear the words they're saying. Amen. And God still this day knows. Amen. And the scripture says, be sure your sin will find you out. Amen. God knows. He said, I, the Lord, search the heart. And so here we have it. Who can know it? The answer is God knows. God knows. You can hide it from your wife. You can hide it from your husband. You can hide it from the preacher for sure. But you can't hide it from God. Jeremiah 2:22, for though thou wash thee with nitre, if I say that right, N-I-T-R-E, nitre, whatever, take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord. Don't you wish you could just take a bath and get rid of your sin? Don't you wish when you said something you shouldn't have said, you could just go and wash it off? Friend, you can't wash your heart like that. And God knows. You can wash yourself with this nitre, whatever that's talking about. You can wash yourself with soap. And just don't take care of it. There's only one thing that can take care of it. Amen. That's the blood of Jesus Christ. God knows what is in the heart of man. Matter of fact, Luke 12:2 says, amen, there is nothing hid that shall not be revealed. There's coming a day when everything is going to be revealed. Everything is going to be shouted from the rooftops. I'm telling you, oh, what are we supposed to do? Amen. My very nature is evil. And when I thought I could get by, amen, when I thought I had it made, then I fail again. Amen. And now I just try to hide and go on. Amen. But no matter how committed, sin will be exposed. Amen. I tell you this morning, if it's like the sin of Cain that was done in secret, him and Abel walked in the field. Amen. Nobody was around and Cain slew him, but yet it was exposed. Like the sin of Esau, it may have been done under the impulse of the moment. He was hungry and he despised his birthright. Amen. But it still was exposed. Amen. Like the sin of Joseph's brothers, it was years before it found them. Amen. But it found them. I said it found them and it was exposed. Like the sin of Achan, it may be well covered up. Amen. It may be hid under your tent and nobody knows where it's at, but it will be exposed. Like the sin of Samson, it may be done reluctantly. He didn't want to tell. He didn't want to give in. He lied 2 or 3 times, but finally he gave in. But still it destroyed the man Samson. Like the sin of Ahab, it might be prompted by others. The Bible said Ahab was wicked and it was stirred up by Jezebel, his wife, but still it was exposed. Amen. And sin was shown. It may be like the sin of Belshazzar. It may be done under the influence of strong drink. Belshazzar was drunk and he called for the vessels of the house of God. But oh, even though he was drunk, the hand wrote on the wall, your kingdom is numbered. Old Belshazzar got so shook up, his knees smote together and his thighs was out of joint. Amen. Oh, it may be like the sin of Herod. It may be the result of a foolish promise. Maybe you made a promise to someone and now you must keep it. He told them, he said, I'll give you anything you want. She was before instructed of her mother, give me the head of John the Baptist. The Bible said Herod was sorry. But nevertheless, for the oath's sake and for those that was there, he sent a sword and they cut the head of John the Baptist off. He didn't want to, but he made a promise and he had to keep it. It may be like Judas and have the approval of the authorities. Amen. But the scripture says we ought to obey God rather than man. It might be like the sin of Pilate. It might be done to gratify the public. Amen. The Bible said, yet he pleased the Jews. Amen. He wanted to please the crowd and he gratified the public. It might have been done like the Jews. Amen, who didn't realize he was the Messiah. They was ignorant, but still ignorance is not innocence. And God knows sin. And God hates sin. And sin must be paid for. And sin will take you down. And God knows your sin. Not only does God know, but God can. For the scripture says, oh Lord, the hope of Israel. You got hope this morning. Hello? It doesn't matter. You have hope this morning. You don't understand. You don't know my sin. No, I don't. I don't have to. But God knows. And he's still the hope of Israel. Not only is the hope of Israel, but he is the fountain of living waters. Praise God, church. Somebody say praise God. He is the fountain of living waters. Amen. Not only does God know, he can. God's still in the saving business. God still pulls men out of sin. You may be here this morning, young person. You may be here, older person. It doesn't matter. God can pull you out of sin. He can pull you out of that pit. He can save your soul. He can pick you up like he did David. It might be a horrible pit. It might be miry clay. But he's still got a rock you can stand on. Amen. He's still got a place you can stand at. God can save you this morning. The fountain of living waters. That woman came to the well. And she had her pitcher in her hand. Jesus was sitting on the well. The Bible says, Brother Mike, he said, give me something to drink. She said, y'all don't usually have nothing to do with us. And said, you ask me a drink? He said, woman, if you knew who was talking to you, you would have come down here and asked me for a drink. But I wouldn't have got a drink out of that well. I'd have gave you a drink of living water. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. He said, if you get a drink of that water, you're going to come back. But if you get a drink of the water that I give you, you will never thirst again. Praise God. Woo! She said, are you greater than Jacob our father who gave us this well? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. You have nothing to draw with, sir. The well is deep. Oh, she said, sir, give me this water that I won't come back down here and drink. Jesus had to let her know that he knew. Come on, church. He said, go call your husband. She said, I don't have one. He said, you right so. Really what he said was, I know. God may be telling somebody this morning, yes, you're in a bad shape. Yes, the heart is deceitful. Yes, yes, yes. But he knows where you're at. He knows how to get you out of that place. Amen. She said, sir, I perceive you are a prophet.
Amen. Our fathers worshipped here in this mountain, you say Jerusalem. He said, woman, believe me. Amen. That's it right there. God wants you to believe him. He'll reveal your sin, not to make you look bad, but let you realize where you're at and to realize he's able to pull you up. I'm telling you what, this morning, God's still in the saving business. And if you're here this morning and sin has got you wrapped up and you are down and you feel like there's no hope, God's still the hope of Israel. He'll still save your soul. He'll still wash you in the blood of Jesus. He'll still cleanse you and make you whole. He'll still forgive your sin. He'll still sign your pardon. You may have a death sentence, but Jesus got the power to sign your pardon and let you go free. I'm telling you, God can save, God can deliver, and he can put you on the right road to heaven. We know that Messiah comes, and when he comes, hallelujah, when he comes, she said, Jesus said, I'm here. I'm here. And it may be that you're saying this morning, when my day comes, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to work for God. Hey, look at me. I'm here. Not me. Jesus is saying that. I'm here. Woman, I that speak unto thee am he. God can reach down, pick up, and save your soul. He said, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. God's still in the healing business. Your heart may be so broken. Sin may have you so marred. The psalmist said, I said, Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. If you're here this morning and you're lost, God knows exactly where you are. Not only that, he can save you. If you're here this morning and you're backslid, Jeremiah the prophet said, return. Some may say, return. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. You went back on God. You turned around. Amen. Return to God. Jesus said in John 6:37, no man that cometh unto me, any man that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. If you come to Jesus this morning, sinner friend, he will not turn you away. How do you know, preacher? Because God's word is still true. Oh, I wish I had a praying church this morning. I feel like God wants to save somebody right here in this house. Amen. God's still in the saving business. Believe God to break the chains. Believe God to heal. Believe God to bring them back home. Return to God. Turn back to God. Get off the road you're going and come back to Jesus. He's waiting. The question this morning, who can know it? Who could have known you would have done some of the things you've done? God knew. Who could have known that my heart would have been wicked enough to go as far as I've went? God knows. Not only does he knows, but he can. He can pull you back up. He can save. He can deliver. He can set free. Can I get a witness? God can. The answer is God. Who can know it? Him. He knows my heart. He knew before I ever went astray. I've told this before, but I want to tell it again. I had messed up on God. I had done things that I was very ashamed of. I hadn't turned my back on God. I still wanted to serve Him. But I had done things that harmed my relationship with Him seriously. And that'll keep you sometimes when you need to pray through. Because it's not that you're all the way out serving the devil, but you've done things that's harmed your relationship with God, and the devil sit there and tell you, well, you're still serving God. But really and truthfully, I knew at that point in my life that I had hurt God. And I was very convicted in a church service. And my mom and dad started singing that song, "Because He Loved Me, My Savior Died. On the cross was crucified. No greater love by mortal man has ever been known. Oh, praise His dear name. He loved me so." And Brother Roger, I got to thinking, God knew me before I ever did this. And He loved me when He knew I was going to do it. He knew I was going to hurt Him. He knew I was going to, yet He still loved me enough, amen, to try reach for me. Oh, then that old song came to my mind. They wasn't singing it, but Brother Curtis, I go back in my mind to that place right there in that church, just like it was this morning. I felt bad. I felt broken. Amen. I was ashamed, and yet I thought of that song. He knew me, yet He loved me. Amen. Praise God. God knew you had fallen. God knew your evil nature. Jesus knew you was wicked. Jesus knew your nature was sinful, yet He still loved you, yet He still pulls for you, yet He still wants you as His own, yet He still says, "Come unto me, all you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Let me tell you something, young person, this morning, Jesus wants to save you. Stand together with me this morning. He knew you was a sinner. He knew the things you would do. Yet He loved you. It's time to get right with God. Hallelujah. Brother Sam, who could know it? Who would know? God knew all along. He knew how far we would go. He knew how He would turn. He knew it all. And He knows. He knows how far you went. Sometimes we're like Achan. We still try to cover it up. We still try to put on that smile. You can't tell nothing's wrong with me, can you? I mean, seriously, I don't look like no wicked sinner. I don't think. I look pretty good, but God knows. I sit on the pew, I raise my hand, I come. God knows. But He still cares. And He still can save. And He is still reaching. He's still reaching. Jesus Christ is reaching this morning. He's got His hand out. And Brother R.C., it has a hole in the hand. There's a nail print there. And He's saying, if you'll get a hold of my hand, I'll pull you out. If you'll get a hold of my hand, I'll pull you out. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I used to say, I don't care. But now I want to say, it doesn't matter how far you've gone. Jesus still is reaching. And He's only going to go so far. But if you'll get a hold of that hand, if you'll get a hold of that hand, He'll get a death grip on you. Hallelujah. He said down there in Florida, amen, that little kid started crying out the backyard, and an alligator had a hold of one of his hands, pulling him. Mama ran out of the house and grabbed him on his arm, his other arm. And the alligator was pulling one way, and Mama was pulling the other way. Finally, Mama prevailed and pulled that little boy out of the grip of that alligator. She took him to the doctor, and the doctor said, this little boy is going to have two marks for life, one on each arm. Said one of them is from the alligator where he almost pulled him under. Said, but the other mark he's going to have is from Mama. Amen. Where she pulled so hard she scarred him. Amen. And pulled his skin. Amen. I'm telling you what, if you look real close, there's the marks of sin on my life. But if you look on the other hand, there's the mark where Jesus got a hold of me. And he pulled me out of the clutches of hell. And he's reaching this morning. And he's able to pull you out of sin. He's able to take that nature away from you and give you a new heart, a new life. Why don't you run to Jesus this morning? Why don't you run to this altar? You ain't coming to this preacher. You ain't coming to this church. But why don't you come to Jesus this morning? Why don't you run to Jesus? Come on, come on, come on. Come to Jesus. Sinner friend, you don't understand, the alligator's got a hold of me. Jesus has a hold of you too. You wouldn't be here this morning if God hadn't got a hold of you when you was going down. The alligator was a pulling, but Jesus grabbed a hold. Brother Brandon broke the ice for somebody this morning. He jumped in already. I want to know, before the church comes, there's those that are coming. But before the church comes, I want to know if you got the gumption. You've got the boldness to step out in front of everybody. Say, it's me. There's those that are coming, but there's others that need to come. You want to wait until everybody comes, or do you want to kneel right there? But no, step out. Come on. Jesus is a pulling this morning, church. But he ain't the only one. That evil is a pulling too. Come on to Jesus. That's it. That's it.
When I could not.
Oh, God bless.
To where he was, he came.
Go pray with Kelly this morning.
That's,
I
want to
know if there's somebody else here this morning. Come on. Oh, God bless
when
you, young
I could
man.
Not come
God bless this
to
young
where he was. He
I'd like for us to pray with him and everybody else that will. Let's gather in these altars.
He came.
Oh, hallelujah.